Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Thank you, Father. We praise you. Glorify you. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's just begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here, that a presence that we could feel during the worship, Lord God. We thank you that you are here. And we ask, Lord God, for your continued presence as we look into your word, as we open your word, Lord God. I pray that you would speak to each one here, each one who hears these words, that you would say exactly what you want to say to each one today, Lord God. I pray that you would help me to get out of the way, to stand behind the cross, and to speak only what you would have me speak, Lord. So we thank you, Lord God, that you have the ability to take the words that come forth and to translate them by the Holy Spirit for each and every one that's here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start with a little bit maybe of a review over the last few weeks. Matt's been encouraging us all that we have a call and a purpose on our lives in Christ. We've looked at Romans 8:28, where it says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Those called according to the purpose, that's us. That's every believer. Every single one of us has a call and a purpose on our lives. And the fact that he causes every good and every difficult thing to work together for our good, we remember that it's not that God causes everything. He's not to blame for the bad things that happen in our lives. It's not his fault that this world is in the mess it's in. Those things are the result of living in a fallen world. The difficult things that we've experienced and that we face aren't God's fault. But if we love him, verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew," like Keith just shared, he foreknew all of us. So, "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So the first good thing that happens to us in all that we experience, in all the good things, in all the bad things, in all the things that we experience, the first good thing that happens is we become conformed to the image of Christ. As we love God and draw close to him, even in the difficult times, we become more like Jesus. Philippians 2:8 says this of Jesus. It says, "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And so that's part of our call. Part of our call is that we're all called to obedience. And while we all have this call and this purpose, Matt was careful to stress that our value in the church isn't in what we do, it's not in what we contribute, but it's that the church is a family. So our value in church and in Christ is in that we're part of that family. The church is a family, and our value comes from being part of that. And in the same way, our value with God is because we are part of his family. We're his children. He's adopted us into his family. And regardless of what we do, he loves us. Still, though, if we each have a call and a purpose on our lives, it's important for us to know what that call and purpose is. We looked at Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16 where it says, He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all aspects of into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. So you might say, well, I'm not called to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. And that might be true, and that's okay. But look again at what those gifts, the purpose of those gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, therefore, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So everyone is to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. We're either part of the equipping or we're being equipped for the work of the ministry. And in some cases, it's both. It's not either or, it's and also. Last week, when Matt shared, and I encourage you to listen on the podcast if you missed it, he asked us to consider whether we're a player or a spectator. And he said that if we want to affect the game, we have to be a player. We need to be in the game to affect the game. As a spectator, we're only viewing. We need to be engaged in our calling and our purpose. And although it's not the norm in a lot of the Western church nowadays, being a Christian is not meant to be a spectator sport. You know, for each person, there may be seasons in our lives where we just need to be refreshed, where we need to grow, where we need to maybe just sit back. Times that we're not maybe as actively engaged, but everyone is supposed to be a player and a producer, not a spectator or a consumer. You know, in our nation right now, we have a little bit of a problem because there's some people that are not anxious to return to work because they're being paid more not to work than it would be if they would work. They're rewarded for not working. And we shouldn't have that same problem in the church because God rewards those who are in the game. He wants us to be part of it so that we get the ultimate reward. You know, and I don't want to offend anybody because it sounds a little bit harsh when you look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10-13. But this is what Paul says when he's writing to the church there. He says, even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone's not willing to work, and a key word there is willing, there are some who are unable. But if anyone's not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. We command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. So again, that might sound a little bit harsh, so let's just say everyone should do their own part. You know, so we look then, other than the gifts and the callings that are spoken of in Ephesians, if we're not one of those things, what part might we play? If we're not an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, what might be our part? Romans 12:1-8 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. So here's the part. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not do the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another. However, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, use them properly. If prophecy, in proportion to one's faith. If service, in the act of serving. One who teaches, in the act of teaching. One who exhorts, in the work of exhortation. And one who gives with generosity. One who's in leadership with diligence. And one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So all those things that are listed there are vital to the body. And more than that even. There's gifts of hospitality. There's many, many other gifts that are vital that each individual might have. And I want to take a little bit of time now to look at some examples of why it's so important for us to be faithful in what God has called us to do. You know, keep in mind, too, that there's things that he calls us to as a life calling. Things that is our purpose in life. Things that we're supposed to do to rise up and be one of those things. But there's also things he calls us to in a season, or things he calls us to even day by day or hour by hour in a specific moment. Let's look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall certainly be neither dew nor rain during these years, except by my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from there and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide food for you there." So he went and did everything according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. But it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there, and behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide food for you." So he arose and went. And when he came to the entrance of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a cup, so that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As surely as the Lord God lives, I have no food, and only a handful of flour in a bowl, and a little oil in a jar, and behold, I'm gathering a few sticks, so that I may go in and prepare it for me and my sons, so that we may eat and die." However, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go as you have said, and just make a little bread, loaf. From it, first bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the bowl of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil become empty, until the day the Lord provide rains on the face of the earth." So she went and did everything in accordance with the word of Elijah, and she and her husband and household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not used up, and nor did the jar of oil become empty, in accordance with the word of the Lord which he spoke through Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his condition became very grave, until at the end he was no longer breathing. So she said to Elijah, "Why is my business any of yours, you man of God? Yet you have come to me to bring my wrongdoing to remembrance and put my son to death." But he said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her arms and carried him up to the upstairs room where he was living, and he laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, Lord, my God, have you also brought catastrophe upon the widow with whom I'm staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out over the boy three times and called to the Lord, Lord, my God, please let this boy's life return to him. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the boy returned to him, and he revived. Elijah then took the boy, brought him down from upstairs room into the house and gave him to his mother and said, see, your son is alive. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Remember what the widow's expectation had been. She thought that her and her son were going to eat one last meal and then they would die. But because she was faithful, because she was obedient to do the little thing that God had asked, they ate every day and they lived. She had pronounced that they would die, but the Lord turned it around that even though the son died as she proclaimed, the Lord turned it around and raised him. You know, when you think about it, all the widow really did was the same job that God had the ravens doing. She really didn't do a big thing, but she was rewarded because she was faithful. She was rewarded because she was in the game. Matthew 25:14-30 is a familiar parable that Jesus tells. He says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, 1. Each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. The one who had received 5 talents immediately went and did business with them and earned 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had received 2 talents earned 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more. Saying, Master, you've entrusted 5 talents to me. I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've earned 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Now the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. I was afraid, so I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you still have what is yours. But his master answered and said, you worthless, lazy slave. Did you not know that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw away the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the master's response would have been to the one who had received just the 1 talent if he had done his best, if he had tried his hardest and perhaps earned 1 more talent? What would the master have said? Probably, well done, good and faithful slave. And I like the translation here that uses the word talent to describe this money. Because, you know, it's more than just our faithfulness with the resources that we have, with money and with wealth. It's also being faithful with our spiritual gifts. It's not really about how much we've been given. It's whether or not we're in the game. The parable says that each one was given according to their ability. But if we hide the talent that we've been given, regardless of what it is, regardless of how much it is, if we hide that talent that we've been given, we're not players. We're not in the game. Now, as we get ready to close this morning, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. And keep in mind, again, this is talking about sowing and reaping, and it's more than just financial. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You know, we've talked a lot over the last weeks and months about what Jesus says in John 10:10, where he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. And if we look according to 2 Corinthians 9, abundance comes through multiplication. The abundance that we have isn't just created, it comes from the multiplication. And so in an effort to be real well-rounded, let's look at a little simple math. If you multiply anything by zero, what do you get?
Zero.
If you multiply by one, there's no increase. You still have exactly what you had. So for us to truly know and experience the abundance of God, in order that there would be an increase in our lives that would flow out of our lives, we need to add to what we've been given. The thing is, we don't add more things, and we don't even add our strength. Psalm 50, 10 to 12 says, every animal, God says, every animal of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and everything it contains. He doesn't need our stuff. What we add to the equation in order that we experience the abundance of God is our obedience and our willingness. We have a call and a purpose on our lives. And we've seen that it's important that we walk in our calling, both for our own sake and for the sake of the church and for the sake of those that God wants to bless in that time or that season. But there's another reason that it's vital that we walk in our calling. Along with the calling and the purpose that we have, we also all have a destiny in Christ. A place where we're supposed to end up. And part of that destiny for each one of us, no matter what the gift we've been given, no matter how much or how little we've been given, part of the destiny is that at the end of our days, we would hear the Master say, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. That's our destiny. That's the final thing in our lives or after our lives. And to reach our destiny, we need to walk in our call. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. We need to know, though, that the rest that we have in Christ is not a rest of idleness. It's not a rest of sitting back and waiting for the blessings and the abundance. A yoke is an implement of labor. It's something that's put on to do work. And we really only find true rest when we're laboring in Christ, in our call and our purpose, when we're in the game. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you have a call and a purpose for each one of us. We thank you that you've given gifts and abilities and talents, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. I pray, Lord God, that for any who don't know exactly what their gift, their calling, or their purpose is, that, Lord God, you would reveal it to them. I pray that you would either speak it to their heart or that you would speak through one of your people, Lord God, and you would reveal the gift and the calling and the purpose for each and every one here, for each and every one who hears this, Lord God. Let them know what you've called them to do. Lord, may we be faithful with the little. May we add to the equation our willingness and our obedience to do what you've called us to do. May you multiply it, that there would be abundance, that it would flow out and it would touch our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our community, the region, and the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get in the game.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.